What's going on, y'all? It's your boy Cool Colos here, and you are now tuning into a new episode of the Pro Black Blurred Kingdom Podcast. On today's episode, I'm going to be talking about superheroes. But specifically, I'm going to be talking about superheroes that are based on African gods, or more so, ripped from the concept of African gods. And then I'm going to tie that into this comparison of the characters Magneto and Charles Xavier from X-Men to the likes of Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. At the end, I'm going to be talking about Egyptian characters and how they were whitewashed, and my thoughts also on the creator of Moon Knight, who slammed the movie Black Adam for its lack of Egyptian representation. The one thing that you all have to understand, if you don't already, is that when you look at a lot of these superheroes and comic books and these shows and these movies and everything that Marvel, DC, and every other comic brand comes out with, you have to understand something that's very, very important. And this really runs deep when we think about white supremacy and we think about the way the black culture has been snatched, or at least one of the many ways that black culture has been snatched. Superheroes, essentially, are characters that, although are superpowered, are based much on African gods. So essentially, what a lot of these superhero companies like Marvel and DC do is they take a lot of these concepts that derive from Africa, so essentially African gods, Egyptian gods, which that's an African god, and all this other stuff, and they turn those gods into superheroes, and then they repackage them and they give them back to you. So really what they do a lot of times is they like turn this god that you once knew into a superhero, and they a lot of times make that character white, and then they give it back to you and you enjoy it in the form of characters like Superman and Batman and all these other people that you see on different comics like DC and Marvel. The fact of the matter is that although what I'm saying is true about there being superheroes that are based on African gods, a lot of people will probably try to make the argument that these characters sometimes are based on Greek or Norse gods. So essentially, white supremacists or the little coons that follow them will probably make the argument that a lot of characters are based on Greek or Norse culture. But what they don't really understand when making that statement is that the gods that have been created in Greek and Norse culture are actually ripped from concepts of African gods as well, too. So, a lot of these European gods are essentially made up as alternatives to these African gods. So, in other words, the African gods were there first, and then these Greek gods and other European cultures, of course, had gods that were made in the image of these African gods. So it's still a mimic in a certain way. So even if somebody wants to make the argument that the comic book characters or superhero characters that you see are based on Greek or Norse gods, then they still essentially will be going back to this idea of ripping gods or ripping superheroes from African gods, like these white superheroes for the most part. Really, let's be real. Superheroes are just the way that white supremacists are taking African gods, whitewashing them, turning them into white superheroes, and again, selling them back to us in the form of Marvel, DC, etc., and all this other stuff that you like to enjoy, such as shows, movies, and even games. And I'm even guilty myself of enjoying some of these things as well, too. But the bottom line is that at least I have a central understanding of how a lot of this stuff needs to change and how I personally can create my own brand that will change up the way that our gods and other things in our culture are actually stolen, and I can actually turn it into something that's positive, and it doesn't have to be filled with appropriation and all these weird agendas and messages. But now that I've talked all this stuff about stolen characters, because these characters are definitely stolen from African gods, I want to give you all a few examples of some characters that I have seen that are actually stolen. So first you got Wolverine, who essentially was based on the African god known as Ogun. Anybody who knows who Ogun is, he was the god of metal, and he carried three machetes around in each hand. And that's very similar to Wolverine, who has three metal claws that he uses as weapons. The character Storm, who, although is black, was also another character that was based on an African god known as Oya, who was a feminine goddess who had electrical powers and wind powers and storm-like abilities. And if you look at the character Storm, she too can do a lot of these things that Oya could do as a goddess. Thor was another character that was stolen. Now, a lot of people will like to go and say that Thor is an actual Norse god, but follow me on what I'm about to tell you right now. Thor was really, if we're being honest here, stolen from the god known as Shango. Shango is the deity of power, capriciousness, authoritativeness, procreativity, destructiveness, magic, medicine, and moral power. And he was powerful, very, very powerful. As a matter of fact, he had an axe. A double-sided axe, in the same way that Thor had a double-sided axe later in the comics. Also, too, if you look at Shango's colors, Shango has red and gold in his color scheme, and Thor also has red and gold in his color scheme as well, too. So while you can make the argument that, yeah, he was a Norse god, look at the similarities that exist between the African god Shango, or African deity Shango, and Thor. You also have Aquaman, who was heavily based on the African god known as Olokun, who was the god of the sea. Now, one character that is so blatantly obvious when it comes to this superhero repackagement, as I speak about, is Superman. I mean, let's really break all this shit down for a second. Like, think about it. He gets his power from the sun. That alone is one reason why he should be melanated. Because let's be real, think about it. All white folks are doing what at this point? Trying to put on sunscreen anytime they go in the sun, and then also trying to convince y'all's black asses that you need sunscreen and you really don't. You're melanated. You're supposed to get power and everything from the sun. You're not supposed to be harmed by it. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is that Superman is white. So if he was to get closer to the sun should actually harm his skin because of the fact that, like any other white person, being in the sun too long is going to harm that person's skin. But in this case, it's the total opposite. When he goes towards the sun, it actually gives him power. It actually makes him feel empowered. So when you think about that, it sounds kind of ass backwards. And by the way, I wanted to go back to my example about the sunscreen again, too. Don't let people tell you that you gotta throw on sunscreen, because the reason why I think a lot of black folks think that they need to throw on sunscreen is because of the fact that they hear that a lot of people say, oh, they get burnt up and all this other stuff. And, you know, let's be real. Anything in excess is a bad thing, including sun. So if you're in there too long, then yeah, you probably should not stay there, because even water is good for you, but you can overhydrate yourself. Think about it like that. But at the same time, what you need to understand is that in these sunscreens, the reason why you're protected, or white folks are protected, I guess is what I'm trying to say, is there is a type of synthetic melanin that actually exists in these sunscreens. So my thing is, if they have this kind of pseudo melanin that's existing in the sunscreens to protect them, what do you think is protecting you versus protecting white folks? The idea that you have melanin. So really what it is you're putting on extra melanin onto someone in order to be able to protect them from the sun's rays. So essentially you really don't need it. You don't have to do all the same things white people do, because while they're in the sun, that's why they're getting burned to a crisp. Anyway, I just wanted to make that point real quick, because I actually had a conversation with someone recently about that. And I think this person basically tried to tell me that you should still put on sunscreen, and we're both black. And I basically told her the only reason why people put on sunscreen is because it actually has synthetic melanin on it. Not that they know that, but I guess what I'm just saying is that's the reason why it protects you. It's not because you need it just like white folks do. White folks need it because it gives them an extra dose of melanin, and we have melanin on our skin, I guess. And so that reason alone, the fact that he gets powered by the sun, Superman, is a reason why he should actually be melanated. He shouldn't even be white. He should be black. Interestingly enough, though, this is another thing to consider here. The deity that is on his planet, which is Krypton, if you follow the Superman comics, is called Ra'al, who is very similar to the African Kemetic sun god that's known as Ra. A lot of his construction, like many other comic and comic characters, came during the eugenics movement. So for those of you who don't know what that is, the eugenics movement essentially was used by white supremacists that were upholding the belief that racial improvement and enhancement that can take place by whitewashing the rest of the world. They'll say it was really about taking people with the quote-unquote best genes and breeding them for the most optimal results and improving the human population, but that's what all of that really means at the end of the day. Anyway, though, Superman also has an S on his chest, as pretty much everyone knows. But if you look really closely, what it really is a pyramid that's upside down with a snake in between that's shaped like an S, which is an actual symbol that was in Egypt. So that's like an Egyptian symbol, having a snake or a serpent and having a pyramid that's surrounding the snake. Also, think about Superman's name. His name is Kal-El, which is a Hebrew name, really. And everybody knows, who is really up on culture, that the Hebrews were also melanated as well, too. So everything about this man has everything to do with black people at this point, outside of just the way he looks. So now at this point, what does that include? The fact that he gets powered by the sun, the fact that he has an S on his chest that looks like a pyramid that's upside down with a snake in the middle. The fact that he has a god named Ra'al on his planet who is based on Ra, the sun god. And then the fact that his name is Kal-El and it's a Hebrew name, and that the Hebrews were melanated. So all of that is basically direct proof that Superman should be melanated. And the fact that he's not shows that what they did was they took the god Ra and they repackaged him and made Superman. They made him into a white boy. I'm telling you, though, you all better look out for some of these symbols that they put in shows and movies and whatnot, because there are hidden messages in these things, and we don't even think twice, and we don't even have the means to even start thinking about why these things exist the way that they do, or the fact that they do exist, and what some of the meanings behind these symbols in these things are. So, for example, in the comic He-Man, I don't know if anybody who's listening has watched He-Man, but in He-Man, he has a symbol on his chest that is associated with Aryans, which is a white supremacist doctrine for anybody who doesn't know. Matter of fact, if you pay close attention even to some of these Disney movies, and of course it will be damn Disney's ass, if you pay attention to some of these Disney movies, there have been different cartoons that have the pedophile symbol present in multiple places. And a lot of people have called this out, and they'll try to say it's a conspiracy theory or some shit like that, but there's definitely some truth behind this, because Disney has actually hired a lot of pedophiles before. So let's give that an example. So for example, there's a Disney character, and I don't know what the name of this character is off the top of my head, but it's a lion, and it's like a blue-gray color, and it had all types of symbols on its face. And if you look closely, the symbols that it has all over its face is the pedophile symbol. And there is also the appearance of this symbol in different parts of some of these other Disney movies as well, too. And I know white liberal media and the black flunkies that are quick to go against their own people instead of checking the weirdness around how all of this goes down and calling it a conspiracy theory will try to cause diversion and say that this stuff is not true. But we need to make something clear here. How many times have you heard that all of these child stars come out and they say something strange happened or was done to them, or they were molested or coerced into some perverted child adult sexual interactions? And a lot of these companies like Disney and like Nickelodeon and all these other different places that produce cartoons. This shouldn't be a foreign concept at this point. So if you hear a lot of people who are, again, white liberals or some of the flunkies that follow them, then you need to know that not only are these people who are going to be agents of chaos, but they are the reason why I speak about the things that I speak about, because it's very, very important for our people to know about some of these things that they're watching, and to really just look out for when you see certain symbols and what they mean and why they're being put out the way that they're being put out. Also, with the character Wonder Woman, who was created by William Marsh, she was an Amazon. And if you think about the Amazons, they were known to be these large melanated women who were in the Caribbean and in South America. But the truth is, it's already gentrified from that standpoint. So it's already gentrified from the standpoint of it having been this ideal of having a melanated Amazon-like large woman, and Wonder Woman herself being a white woman who was an Amazon, who was a large woman. So it's gentrified from that standpoint, but you can actually go even beyond that. They had the audacity to throw in Nubia as a black character to be some sort of carbon copy for Wonder Woman or some shit, even after they basically try to gentrify the concept of having this large melanated woman known as an Amazon. The truth is, though, is that the whole Amazon thing is a stretched myth anyway. And that's why I said that there's already some gentrification going on until I get to the truth, which is that this is a myth. Really, what happened was in Dahomey, which is now known as the Republic of Benin, there was beef, basically, between the French and the sisters that were in Benin. And so they came there, and basically the French, who tried to wage war on them, got their asses whooped by a bunch of beautiful sisters who were no bigger or smaller than the ones that we see today. And what white supremacists did then to justify these sisters getting off in that ass was they made it seem like these women were 10 feet tall, and that's why they got their asses whooped. And to me, that's what white supremacy does. They create lies and diversions, and they pass that down as if it's true history, or they tell these myths, especially about our people, in order to cause confusion when you're trying to figure out the truth of your people. Even with Batman, there's evidence to show that the character is linked to Mayan culture. And if anybody who doesn't know this, the Mayans were a group of blacks who were living in parts of Mexico and Central America. And Batman was linked to Camazotz, who was a Mayan god who was known as Death Bat. He was a bat god of sacrifice, death, and night. And I mean, after all, think about it. Batman's slogan in, I think, the cartoon was, "I am vengeance, I am the night, I am Batman." So in his slogan, he's even saying a lot of the things that Camazotz was actually about. But really, y'all, on a serious note, y'all have got to watch the series Hidden Colors. I believe it was either Hidden Colors 4 or 5, where RZA Islam and Tariq Nasheed went into detail about some of the superhero origins that I even talked about. You should seriously go watch that, because regardless, if you haven't seen the series, the documentary lays out a lot of important details about our culture and important details that we need to know that aren't taught to us in school. And I think that's done on purpose. The documentary dramatically changed my life, if I'm being honest, in the way that I perceive a lot of the world around me. And I'm thankful that I was put onto such a great work. Really, I'm going to be totally honest with you. Tariq Nasheed did a great job putting on such a great documentary that will help to empower our people. And I think it's in the best interest of our people to actually watch it, because it definitely opened my eyes to some of the things that I didn't know and allowed me to really just start questioning things and really do my own research to understand why things are happening the way that they're happening. So, a while ago, I made a post discussing how there were rumors that Magneto and Charles Xavier from X-Men were made to mirror the contrast of Malcolm X and Martin Luther King Jr., with Magneto being like Malcolm X and Martin Luther King Jr. being Charles Xavier. Most people, by the way, who are into X-Men know by now that these two stand heavily for mutant power and salvation, but they have different methods. Magneto is even at times known to have a different alignment depending on the continuity we're talking about. Sometimes he's seen as a hero. Sometimes he's seen as an anti-hero. Sometimes he's seen as a villain. And this is due to what people know about Magneto to be aggressive tendencies in combating the human race that sometimes are portrayed as villainous. And this is done to mirror the assertiveness of Malcolm X. That's why he's getting compared to Malcolm X. And my understanding is that they later gave Magneto this backstory of having Jewish heritage and fighting for the rights of Jewish folks as well, too. And this is why the likes of Wanda, his daughter, as you know, Wanda, little crazy ass, is Jewish as well, too. The problem I see here is that this inherently compares the black struggle to the Jewish struggle when these two are definitely not the same. Whites have a purposeful white supremacist habit of trying to group the issues of blacks, Hispanics, Asians, and other folks considered aggrieved, quote unquote aggrieved, into this generalized bubble of struggle without giving context to what it all means. First of all, the issue of the Holocaust did not nearly last as long as slavery. Second, Jews get reparations for what the Germans did to them. Also, somehow the idea that black Jews even existed just wasn't a thing. It wasn't even a discussion for real. Meanwhile, white Jews can continue to pretend that they are an aggrieved group still as they weave in and out of being a racial group and sometimes being a religious group whenever it's convenient or whenever they believe someone says something that they want to call anti-Semitic, despite the fact that many of them are anti-black racists themselves. What makes me upset is that instead of just making two characters that actually represent MLK and Malcolm X, who are black and are superhero characters, they took two white characters and created this ideal that the two were proxies for these two important black American leaders. One argument that someone gave to me was that Marvel had to do something in a world where it would not allow black characters to be portrayed on screen, and Marvel would have never been a big comic success had they not done what they had done. And this person also informed me that at that time, there wasn't a need to put out content that was culturally aware for black folks because we were just happy to be seen on screen. And my response to that would be that, first of all, I don't give a shit about Marvel's success. And that's because that's not what I'm about. Also, despite what we wanted in the past, it is up to us in 2022 and beyond to call out why the things that we see when it comes to our people and the way we're written are problematic. The idea that we just wanted to see a black face on screen is something that I am well aware of, and it didn't need to be restated because it misses the point that I'm trying to make. This is an analysis of why the past was wrong. That's like looking at a racist cartoon from back in the day and me taking the time to analyze the issues with it, and then some Negro comes through with goofy nonsense to justify it by telling me that back in the day is just what they did and no one was culturally aware. After all, Disney would not have been a big powerhouse like they were had they not put something out that didn't have anti-black narratives that we can now try to flush out. First of all, let's get something straight. You all have got to stop playing this role of excusing so-called accidental white supremacy. Many of these companies, especially the Disneys of the world, were built on white supremacist values. They had no intention to get money to, quote unquote, do better one day. They only had the intention to get money and put out their own messages in sneaky ways while trying to create a facade that allows them to stay in good graces with what people want in the current times they create their content in. Also, the problem I see here is that we still, in 2022, only care about seeing a black face. Like, how bizarre is that? That's why you hear niggas overjoyed at the idea of black representation alone. That's exactly why and how you goofy Negroes get these butter biscuit loving politicians like Kamala Harris and Barack Obama, because all that was important to you all was seeing a black face. Never mind how much they buck dance for white folks with individualistic recognition and endowment being the prize. in the media space, this is something we need to get out of. And that starts with being comfortable with speaking truth to power, and also to stop being so quick to microanalyze when our own people call these things out. I've said that time and time again. A lot of you all are so focused on trying to figure out how you can debunk my analysis instead of actually calling out the disrespect as it shows up. And a lot of you are going to pretend like it's not there or like I'm reaching. But the bottom line is that you just don't want to see it for what it. My last point to this whole thing, though, is that none of that shit that was said negates the truth of the matter. It's disrespectful when looking back. I didn't see a lot of you goofy ass Negroes criticizing women when white liberal females and the mammies that follow suit were walking around saying that looking at a woman's ass was an example of rape culture. You weak Negroes were apologizing on behalf of your quote unquote fellow men and posting hashtags that said me too. You guys didn't microanalyze that and talk about how wrong that was and how defaming that was. How dare you compare a man who is a rapist to a man who looks at a woman's butt? And you all didn't criticize that, but you all are quick to criticize someone like me because I'm calling out disrespect. Anyway, I personally believe that it would have made more sense if they would have said, Marvel, if they would have said that T'Challa and Eric Killmonger were a mirror image of MLK and Malcolm X. Because to me, that would have been far more accurate. It's clear that there was a desire for both Black Panther and Killmonger to empower their people, but their methods were different. And yes, one was better than the other. Because I know how some of you Negroes are. Some of you Negroes love to play the polarization and monolith opinion game, but I'm here to set that shit straight. First of all, there is a lot of y'all who clearly don't get MLK. This so-called polarizing difference that MLK had to Malcolm X was actually based upon what white folks and scared Negroes valued about him. You all saw the whole thing of Malcolm or MLK where he had a dream and he was portraying that through a speech. His method was to try and portray a equality hustle, you know, that whole let's be fair to all mankind type of thing. And liberal whites, and even some conservatives to a certain extent, were able to get behind the idea of a Black man not being brave enough to just say, help my people and my people alone. They liked that something was in it for them. They liked that he still advocated for whites as well. That's why he has a holiday. But remember, MLK changed his mind and said he feared that he led his people into a burning building. A lot of people won't talk about that, but later in life, his beliefs were actually heavily in line with that of Malcolm X. So they weren't so different after all. This shows that Malcolm X had the right idea early on, and MLK finally got with the program, which means that they didn't have two different equally effective methods, as one would suggest. MLK just got on the same tip as Malcolm at some point. Think about it. Both of these men were assassinated. They never take out the coons or the sellouts and the Black folks who are fearful. They take out people who can make waves that are disturbing when they speak truth to power. That's why the op took out Malcolm X and then MLK was also assassinated in the hospital. And I know that that threw some of y'all off probably too, because you're like, no, he got shot in a hotel, blah, 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 blah. So the truth there was, there's this understanding that he actually did not get killed in a hotel. He actually was suffocated in a hospital and died, and it was never discussed, much like Malcolm X, when it was believed that the NOI killed him, but it was later revealed that the ops Eugene Roberts and Ray Woods had a hand in orchestrating his assassination. I mean, think about it. The idea that they weren't even hurt themselves is a statement right there. I mean, neither one of them were assassinated. Matter of fact, Woods made a confession on his deathbed about being a part of that whole assassination agenda in 2011. He thought that he was going to die at that moment, but he actually didn't even die until 2020. So he only confessed on his deathbed, and he died, ended up dying 9 years later because that wasn't even his deathbed. And I mean, this nigga lived a whole 9 more years without being maimed, even after a confession. And see, y'all don't know about MLK at the end of the day. Like, the fact that his daughter said his political affiliation. See, y'all don't know about MLK for real, because y'all don't even know the fact that his daughter said that his political affiliation was Republican. And what's ironic about his turn of mindset is that it strongly mirrors what went down in the movie Black Panther. It's like MLK went from thinking on the lines of being all about equality and all this other stuff to kind of thinking on the lines of Malcolm X. Whereas if you look at T'Challa in the Black Panther movie, he went from, you know, being about equality and all this other stuff to kind of being like Barack Obama to a certain extent. So his mindset changed as well, too. And I'll get into that in another video, but he too turned in a way, but it was just in the opposite direction. And it was adverse to black empowerment, if I'm being honest. Now, I want to talk a little bit about something I see similar to characters getting repackaged. I see an extra emphasis on whitewashing characters that are Egyptian. As many of you are probably aware of at this point, there have been several productions that have had an Egyptian theme to them at this point. And that's from Moon Knight to Black Adam to Yu-Gi-Oh! To the Ten Commandments. But there have been several of them. And in the four that I actually just named, there was an immense amount of whitewashing that had taken place. Now, I noticed that this Black Adam movie backpedaled a bit, but let's think about this for a second. All three personalities who were within Moon Knight were played by a white dude. Black Adam himself was actually white, or racially ambiguous, before this actual movie where Dwayne Johnson, also known as The Rock, is set to be playing him. And every actor in The Ten Commandments was white, and they all existed in Egypt. And then in the show Yu-Gi-Oh!, Pharaoh Atim, who was also known as Yami Yugi, along with all of his subjects, including the Banded King Bakura, or also known as Zorik Necrophades, were all white as well too. Hell, if you think about it, the name Atim is an Egyptian name, and it's the name of a solar god that was associated with the sun setting in the evening. And that actually very closely mirrors this idea that Yugi and the Pharaoh, when they used to duel, used this card called the Dark Magician. So it's interesting how all of that connected. So it's clear that all of these things were being taken from Egyptian culture. Pharaoh Atim was later darkened a bit in season 5 of the show when they went back and they told the story of what happened back in ancient Egypt when he was king. But he still appeared to be either white and tanned or racially ambiguous to me. In all honesty, his facial features were still white looking, and he still had a pointed nose, and his lips were still thin. And he had spiky hair, like the same spiky hair that Yugi Moto had. And I don't know if you all have ever seen him, but he has like this almost like crown looking hair, and it's like black and has a pink kind of strand thing in it. And then he has blonde strands coming out of the scalp of his head as well, too. Hell, the only dark characters that were even on the show Yu-Gi-Oh! Was Merrick and his family. And there was some whitewashing even with them, because if you look at Merrick's hair, his hair was long and it was straight and it was gray colored, which made him appear racially ambiguous, or like he was some sort of Indian from India or some shit. And then his brother Odion was brown skinned, but he was bald and he had a ponytail that looked like it was a little straight to me. And his sister Shizu kind of looked like a sister because she was brown skinned and she had some curves, but her facial features, once again, made her appear like she was racially ambiguous or just not black in the face. Also, too, in the comics, specifically in DC Comics, Dr. Fate is white. And that makes no sense whatsoever. And I think he's even white in the Black Adam movie, as a matter of fact. And see, I just want to say this. I'm okay with The Rock being Black Adam because he is a black man. Regardless of what you think, regardless of the fact that he is mixed, he is a black man. And Aldis Hodge also is going to be playing Hawkman, which once again is culturally accurate to me. But if you look at the show Moon Knight, the man who they have to play the character who is the actual Moon Knight guy is definitely a white Arab. But in case you didn't know, by the way, y'all, there are black Arabs too. Again, family, I need y'all to understand that this is being done on purpose when it was clear the ancient Egyptians looked like you and me. And people recently have been going around trying to make little janky statements like the fact that the mummies in the temples in Egypt were white when discovered, and that shit is just totally untrue. Nearly every historian has confirmed that the ancient Egyptians were melanated, with some even being disgusted to find out that they were melanated. They were hoping that these fools were white, and they were pissed the hell off. They had a bug in their ass when they found out that the Egyptians were actually black. Hell, I was even recently chopping it up with my man Relentless 15, and by the way, shout out to that brother. Go follow him. If you guys are on Instagram and you're listening to this, go follow him. You can find him at Relentless 15. He has a lot of informative stuff, and, you know, he's pretty thorough. He informed me that Napoleon used to shoot the noses off of the Sphinx statues that were in Egypt because they look like black noses. And let's be real, though, y'all. Egypt is nothing more than a gentrified Kemet. The white Arabs colonized and enslaved Africans in Egypt. And now that's why you see the majority of Egypt is filled with white looking Arabs and not Africans, given they used to look like me. And, you know, same goes for other North African nations like Algeria, Morocco, and other places where this is also certainly the case. Speaking of white Egyptians, I want to talk to y'all about the director of Moon Knight, Mohamed Diab, who called out the movie Black Adam for a lack of Egyptian representation. So by his name, I'm sure you all could probably guess that the director is a white-looking Arab man. And he has a problem with there not being a lot of white Arabs in Black Adam that look like him. And that's just jankiest shit on so many levels. I mean, he claims that they missed an opportunity to showcase Egyptian talent, but he's missing the clear hypocrisy in his gripes and in his mission to uphold white supremacy with hummus on top. First of all, the movie Black Adam takes place in Kandak, a fictitious North African nation, and not ancient Egypt. So the idea of The Rock playing Black Adam is actually the most culturally accurate to Kemetic roots that I've seen in the comics, and definitely comic media. By the way, I just had to say, I told my wife some years ago that The Rock would make a damn good Black Adam, because to me, he always has looked like him. And somehow here he is all of a sudden portraying the character. And anyway, let me go back to the point. There was some truth, though, to this guy's gripe. There isn't real Egyptian representation in Black Adam, because that would mean filling the show with a bunch of white Arabs and falafels and not the black people who existed during times of ancient Kemet. The second part that makes him hypocritical, though, is that he didn't examine his own backyard very well. The lead actor, Oscar Estrada, who plays Moon Knight, is Guatemalan. The man who plays the villain Arthur Harrow, named Ethan Hawke, is a white man from Austin, Texas. And F. Murray Abraham, who plays Khonshu, is a white Syrian man from Pittsburgh. And also, Moon Knight itself wasn't even filmed in Egypt. It was filmed in Jordan, Atlanta, Georgia, Slovenia, and Hungary. And you can go on Google and see all the shit for yourself, too. So I'm not making none of this shit up. But speaking of Khonshu, there were flaws here as well. Moon Knight as a superhero was made based on Khonshu, who was depicted in this old picture that I'm looking at right now as a melanated comedic moon god known as the Traveler. And you can look at that yourself as well, too, if you'd like on your own time. But if you ask me, the only thing remotely Egyptian in this show are the two non-black, of course, Egyptians, and the lead actor and the actress Mary Calamawi. I think that's how you say her last name. And of course, both lead actors could have been dark-skinned black people if they wanted to really give a true portrayal of blacks from Kemet. But it's clear that there were kings and queens of all colors, really, that thrived in ancient Egypt. And I think that was the point that my follower, and I think his name here is at KG Bethlehem, he emphasized this. Because I had made the point initially that it would be most accurate to see a dark-skinned black person portraying a black person in Kemet or in Egypt or in an Egyptian film or movie or comic movie. And he emphasized to me that there were brothers and sisters in Kemet who were all types of colors. And he was right. By the way, shout out to that brother too, because he definitely is a dope creator that you should go follow. And you can find him at KGBETHLEHEM. Very knowledgeable brother, very thorough brother as well too. Anyway, y'all, so that has been the episode for today. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you guys learned something new today. And I hope that you were able to just get some insight on the way that our gods had been turned against us and transfigured into superhero characters and whatnot. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to get up out of here. I got some new episodes to come, so make sure that you stay tuned, because again, there's going to be a lot of content coming from me in the near future. Anyway, y'all, I hope y'all have a good one, and I will talk to you later. Peace.